Okay, so before we start, I need to have you agree to what I'm about to say to you. I, Clayton Thewison, the interviewee, give permission for the interview to be audio recorded and posted to NPR's Story Corps. I, the interviewee, also give permission to have my photo taken. I acknowledge that my photo, without any other identifying information included, may be shown to the class for which this interview is a requirement and used in a final post to NPR's Story Corps. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we may begin. All right, so, Clayton, in my eyes, you are an extremely admirable person. I've seen you do so many cool things over the years. And to name a few, I've seen you start your own lawn mowing business at like 12 or something, do spray paint art, build rockets, play tennis, formulate your own impressive political ideas, independent of what your parents may think, conduct cool science experiments, get straight A's, and still have time for a social life. And need I mention that you're extremely positive in doing all these things? All right. So,
well, thank you, sir.
Considering my overarching topics were hunger and curiosity, I'd say it's fitting to call you a curious person, considering all the things that you've ventured out into. Where do you think this natural curiosity to learn about all these things seems to come from?
All right, well, I think that's a good question. I don't know. I think part of it, I gave a similar interview to one of my dad's clients when I was in my freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. And he was a super successful guy. He'd started his own business in Naperville, Illinois, a construction okay. business. And I kind of asked him the same thing, like what motivated him to do good things. And he said that really it started as a kid. His family didn't have a ton. And he loved to build. I think he told me that he spent his time remodeling this Ford Mustang in his garage or something like that. Uh-huh. And he recounted the fact that because he didn't have a lot growing up, that he basically had nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. And that kind of motivated him to be successful and to lay it all out on the line.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's weird because I've never, like, you know, I've only lived my own life, right? So I don't know what living another life is like, but I think for me, I've always loved making money. And I can't really explain that. You know, there's always like a monetary value to success, but there's also like a self-fulfilling reward out of making money. You know, I remember, uh-huh. especially when mowing lawns, I would, like, I swear, every single time I finished cutting a lawn, I'd get back in my car and I'd just look at the lawn and I'd be so proud. Like, you know, it's a small thing, but you look at the yard and I'd think, oh my gosh, that looks so cool compared to what I started with.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we can all relate to in a lot of ways. So yeah, just there's a monetary value and a self-fulfilling value that I think people gain out of work. And that's, for the most part, what's motivated me to do the things I've done.
Uh-huh. And what about stuff like, just like these, doing spray paint art, where like you're not really making any money, like what's the value in doing stuff like that for you?
Yeah. Yeah, so that is more of a, so I'll have to contrast it then with like the long-term thing that I just talked about. So when I mow a lawn, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a long-term benefit in that I'm getting paid, that money's hitting my bank account, and I'll remember that feeling that I always had looking at the lawn, you know, that feeling of self-fulfillment.
Yep.
When I do things like build a rocket or do some spray paint art, those are usually short-term things that I think they give me a rush, right? Mm-hmm. And we all have little things like that. So
short-term gratification.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember when we were when we launched that rocket a summer or two ago.
Yeah.
So for me, like, to see that rocket go up in the air at however many miles an hour it is such a rush. Uh-huh. And that's really what it comes down to. I don't know if there's like a deeper thought process behind that, at least in my opinion, but yeah, just building something, you know, kind of along those same lines as like mowing a lawn. There's like a clear end goal, and then the benefit is received right at the launch. It's just, oh, such a good feeling.
Yeah. So in the book we're reading, Black Boy by Richard Wright, he refers to this hunger, but not like a physical hunger, like a literal hunger. And so what would you interpret hunger as, like, literally, not physically?
I'd probably define it as the internal constant will to, okay, hunger, yeah. Probably the internal constant feeling to express oneself and their potential in all that they can do. So I think a lot of times people don't know exactly what they're capable of.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of scares people and leads them away from actually going out and working hard.
Uh-huh.
And I do the same thing, right? Like I know that I can be doing some things in certain moments that I choose not to do because I, you know, want to waste time on my phone or something like that. Yeah. But the hunger never goes away. And so I think the hunger is just, it's the constant motivation to go out and do something great.
Yeah. What's that motivation for you when you do things? Like, what really motivates you? What makes you want to do these things? Like, even when there's something you don't want to do, like, what keeps you going?
Yeah, so it's actually funny because I thought about that the other day. And here, let me give you a little story, a little parable in my life, right?
All right.
Or personal anecdote.
I'd love to hear it.
So in high school, I didn't used to fulfill my dating potential. And I think a lot of guys, a lot of girls too, looking back, will say the same thing, right? Because it's scary to go up and approach someone, and you're scared of rejection, and you don't even know what you're scared of, to be honest with you. You just, you know, you get, it's a psychological mind game that you play with yourself. So the other day, I was waiting. I had like 20 minutes to kill before my next class, and there was this cutie, and I went up to her. I did a full send, Caleb. I didn't even care anymore because I wanted to fulfill my potential, right? Like, I was so sick of the hunger eating away at me through this mind game with myself that I finally went for it, right? And it turned out she had a girlfriend, so that one failed anyway. But I walked away. Or she had a boyfriend. She had a boyfriend, and
I was
like,
"Okay." You are in Utah.
Yeah. So I was like, "Hey, whatever. It's all good." But I walked away, so happy. You know, so happy with myself. And honestly, it's kind of a catch-22. Well, not catch-22, but it's like a paradox almost, because what motivated me to go out and keep doing that was the initiation of that thing. Uh-huh. If that makes sense. So that day, I asked that girl in the morning. She said no, whatever. Then I did the same thing later that same day, and she said yes. And I've done it a couple times since then, right? And this only happened like a month ago, 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
But like thinking about it, if you're not talking about the dating world, put it in like a more practical life setting, I think.
World, yeah.
Yeah, like what motivates me to fulfill my hunger is, I guess, doing that thing. Because it's easy for me to get sucked into it once I start. It's just a matter of starting that is usually the problem.
Starting is half the battle, huh?
Yeah, I'd say it's more than half the battle. At least 51%. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, because I think once you have momentum, it's hard to stop.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what can be some of the things for you that, like, hold you back from starting the battle? Like, what holds you back? Besides fear, because you already touched on that, but, like, what's something that might hold you back?
I think comfort is probably the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, especially in today's society, I'm only 20, so I can't really speak for, you know, any, like, even a small portion of American history. But I think even the people who aren't well off in America are still very comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And I think comfort keeps us from shooting, keeps us from actively trying to attain more in a lot of ways.
Uh-huh.
And I think fulfillment doesn't necessarily come from quantity, but it comes from change. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can be a millionaire. You know, you can have $10 million in the bank.
Yep.
For 10 years and not be a happy person, but you can start with $1 million in the bank and end with $10 million in the bank in a span of 10 years and be very happy.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I just put in monetary value because that's the easiest thing to do. We all think in terms of money, but yeah. So I think comfort leads to no action, which leads to no change, and that's ultimately what keeps people in the same like somewhat depressed mindset.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for you, stepping out of your comfort zone, it's what helps you learn and improve.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah, I think so. Change is good, in my mind.
Well, you're a very happy person, and you kind of touched on happiness right there. Like, what makes you so happy? Like, what about the things you've accomplished and, like, the things you do on every day? Like, what goes through your mind? What makes you so happy?
So I've thought about this too, especially being in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think looking back in junior high and high school, I always got good grades.
Yeah.
Grades, like, I don't think grades necessarily show your levels of intelligence, but grades always came pretty easy to me, luckily. Mm-hmm. I'm just fortunate that way. And, but besides grades, like, I didn't have a lot of stuff going on, right? Like, I had a couple friends that I would hang out with a lot and, you know, family and my lawn business in the summer.
Of course.
But on a day-to-day basis, I wasn't very busy a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And so a lot of hours were wasted on things like YouTube and, you know, Minecraft, things like that. And looking back, like, I was a happy kid for sure, but I was nowhere near as happy as I am now. And I think a lot of that just comes from constant activity. Like, I wake up early, I go to class, and then I go to work, which is fulfilling in itself. Yeah. And then I come back, I study, maybe go on a date, hang out with another nurse.
Yeah.
And so the constant motion, right, the constant change is what I think has made me happy, both short-term and long-term.
So you'd say the more idle you were, the less happy you were.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Let me try and think here. What? So you've kept busy and you've been very curious, done many different things. What has been like some of the most interesting things you've learned over the years?
Some of the biggest things I've learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Factually, maybe you've learned some inspiring moral lessons.
Yeah. So, I think probably one of the big things is just to learn to think independently, and that's a tricky one because, you know, we, especially in a family where you have these like really close knit relationships with people.
Yeah.
You want to make people happy, but you also want to live your own life and do your own thing.
Yeah.
And so learning to balance those two things is kind of an art because it can be tough. I think a lot of times people think of it as a zero-sum game. Like you're either going to do your own thing and make other people unhappy, or you're going to make other people happy and not be living your own life. And I don't necessarily mean like in a practical way, but it's, again, it's like a mental mind game kind of thing, you know, like the morality of anything in life can kind of mess with you.
Yeah.
So that's probably one. I like, the other day I was at work and I was able to apply calculus that I learned in high school to my job, which I thought was so sick because, you know, you're in a classroom like for most of your life up until you're what, like 22, 24?
Yeah.
So learning to apply any knowledge practically is something that I think is highly underrated. So that's one thing I've learned. And yeah, you want me to keep going or?
Yeah, I have a math teacher and his name's Mr. Okla.
Yeah.
He's a super awesome guy. One of the best teachers that I've had. And he loves math. Like, it's his favorite thing on the face of this earth. And anytime someone says, oh, how are we going to use this in real life? He, like, loses it. It makes him so frustrated. And he will come up with, like, hundreds of things that the math can be applied to. And it's actually really interesting. Like, the other day, we were learning about some random polar curves or something and converting them, I don't even know, for calculus. And he was like, and someone was like, but what are we going to use this for? Because converting random imaginary numbers that aren't even real doesn't seem to make much sense. And he was like, this can be used for so many things. You can use it for, like, people use it for creating video games, for sound, for making noise-canceling headphones, and all these cool things. And I think that's the hardest part about learning. Like, once you've learned something, you need to be able to apply it, or else that's just wasted knowledge that you have. And I think that's something you do a good job of doing. Like, you've probably learned a lot over the years, but like, you also do these super cool things where you apply yourself, like building the rockets, doing cool science experiments and stuff like that.
No, it's definitely the I agree. I think it's probably the harder element of learning, but it's also the most fulfilling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's not a test question.
Yeah.
Something that carries practical value. And I'd add one more thing. One of the things I've learned, and that is that in high school you start hearing a lot about networking.
Yeah.
And meeting people in college and how they're going to hook you up with jobs one day and things like that. And in high school, I always used to hear that and be like, okay, I don't really know what that means or how serious that is. But it's so true. It really is. Like, and a lot of it just comes down to being a nice person, because a lot of times you'll find these weird opportunities to help yourself or other people. And it all comes down to that person's perception of you, like as a person, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you pull your weight as a good human being who works hard, then you can score some pretty good deals, right?
Uh-huh.
And just the other day, I ran across this guy who I had a class with last year. His name's Johnny. And there's a job opening at my work. And I was like, oh, dude, what are you doing? You know, and we kind of talked for a minute. And I was like, dude, you should totally apply. I'll throw in a good word for you. And he ended up getting the job. And it was so killer, you know, because, like, I don't know. I just thought it was crazy that it was, you know, like it had a real life practical application right there, you know. And
yeah.
So learning to utilize other people's connections is, I think, a very good thing to consider in life.
So what are some things you'd like to learn more about right now? Like, what are you curious about?
So, I think the biggest thing I'm studying accounting.
Okay.
And I really do like accounting. I think it is so cool what it can tell you. And finance too. I'm in a finance class, and that one's really taught me a ton. It's crazy, like understanding what goes into a stock price, you know?
Yeah.
So that those two topics really interest me. I think on a broader scale, financial analysis really interests me. I did a capital expenditures budgeting case for my finance class, and so that really interests me. But then, like on a more personal level, I think family life is highly underrated in today's society.
Uh-huh.
And that interests me in the long term. And yeah, that and religion too.
Religion?
Yeah, those three things, yeah. I think probably sum it up.
Why do you think you want to learn more about like finance and stuff? Like what for like the finance classes, like what is driving you to learn more about those specific subjects? Like what do you find super interesting?
Yeah, so the reason I like subjects like that, like I like monetary subjects, is because, well, take someone like Jeff Bezos, right?
Okay.
Founder of Amazon, and the reason he's a billionaire and has stock worth hundreds of, what, I think it's like 170 billion, I think.
Something crazy like that, yeah.
Is because he was smart enough to facilitate all of these transactions, and they're all voluntary, meaning that, you know, I decided to go and buy my Christmas suit on Amazon because it benefited me. And I don't really care that it benefits Jeff Bezos, but it does, right? And,
yeah.
And so for him, that correlates to money in the bank, right? And you can apply that. You can think about that on a personal level, like mowing the lawn, or you can think about that on a company level, which is basically what financial statements correlate to.
Uh-huh.
And so that, I don't know, that change in human interaction, I think, is really interesting. And I just love it. Like on a moral and practical level, it's nice to know that people can make money and both parties benefit.
Uh-huh.
And so studying the financials of companies, I think, is pretty sick for that reason.
Uh-huh. So now I'm going to ask you a question that I heard you ask my dad a few years ago, and I thought it was a really good question, and I've asked it to a couple other people. before. Obviously, you're still really young. You're 20. You got a bright future ahead, buddy. But if you could go back and change something you did in your life, would you? And if so, what and why?
Yeah, that's a good question. I asked that question to the guy I interviewed that I mentioned, the Ford Mustang dude.
Uh-huh.
I asked him the same question, and I for sure thought about it. And I guess if there's one, I would start by saying that I don't regret anything.
You don't.
You know, like, looking back, you can draw on everything and use it as a learning example, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think if there's one thing I could do, if I could go back and do it all over again, I would do things differently. I would work harder. That doesn't necessarily mean in school. I think in a lot of ways that means just personally I would try to learn more just about things that interest me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like cut out the YouTube and Facebook and all things that I'm still guilty of even to this day.
Yeah.
And the second thing would be to just approach every aspect of my life with complete confidence. You know, like, like going back to dating, right?
Yeah.
There were so many more opportunities for me to make moves, and then I didn't. It's fine, man. Like, again, no regrets, because it taught me something now that I can relate to. But, yeah, just learning to be incredibly confident and knowing that ultimately no one cares but you, right? Like, like, I don't look back to anyone and think they should have done that differently or they were too passive, you know?
Yeah.
So, in fact, you really remember the moments where people were confident and, you know, made a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the two things. But no regrets in general.
So, we're coming up on the end, and I'm going to let you go soon. But for the last question, what do you think is a personality trait that you have that you think has been very, like, extremely prevalent in your life and, like, you're most grateful for?
Yeah, I think it goes, that's a personality trait. I would probably say that my willingness to converse with people is probably one of the biggest things that I'm happy about.
Mm-hmm.
Just whether it be meeting someone for the first time and just being generally interested in what they have to say.
Yeah.
I've always found it interesting to hear what other people say. You know, and again, it kind of goes back to networking, not like on a job level or, you know, a personal, like, career level, but, you know, people remember this stuff. You know, they remember you, you know, like, being engaged with them and having a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really hits home with people, is what I've noticed. And so I feel like I've always kind of caught on to that, and that's for sure one of my proudest personality traits, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think you do a great job of that. Giving out those positive vibrations, really just, you have a personality that people would want to be around when you're engaged and listen to what people have to say. And that was one of the reasons why my teacher wanted me to do this assignment, was because people love being heard. And I think you, on some level, although this may be kind of a nuisance, but you probably enjoyed this in some aspect, getting to share your opinions.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%, Caleb. Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, I love talking to people and hearing their perspective, but I also love sharing mine,
mm-hmm.
as I think everyone does.
Yep.
And that's not something to, you know, it's not something to shy away from or, you know, try to be humble about. Like, oh, I don't like sharing my opinion. Yes, you do. Everyone does, you know? And you should, mm-hmm. right? You should be happy to share your opinion and you know, be confident in it. And yeah, it makes you feel good, and hopefully the other person can draw something from it.
Uh-huh. I agree. Well, with that, I'm going to stop this. Thank you for...
Yeah, you bet, dude.